Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here at this conference. It's my first one. I'm also grateful to attend this session. Thank you, Satish, for inviting me. And I want to thank Satish and Ashley as my co-authors. We've had great collaboration over the years. I'm a limnologist by trade. So I have a vested interest in legacy phosphorus and how it impacts eutrophication. So I think one of the most important drivers here in the buildup of legacy P in soils, at least, is fertilization practices, particularly here in the upper Midwest. We have a lot of manure. We have to get rid of it. And manure usually has a low N-to-P ratio, 1-to-1, and crop uptake needs are different, I think like 4-to-1. So this results in the buildup of phosphorus over time, and it's hard to deplete this phosphorus once we've built it up. It can take decades or more. And we do have best management practices for reducing particulate erosion, but soluble P runoff is a lot more difficult to control and probably a lot more expensive as well. From a receiving waters perspective, I think we're seeing here in the last several talks that a significant portion of the particulate P can be bioavailable. Particularly enter recycling pathways upon deposition. As limnologists call this internal phosphorus loading. But as suspended sediment, particulate P can also play a direct role in regulating soluble phosphorus through equilibrium reactions. And this is a big concern, especially from a receiving waters standpoint. Just really briefly here, an exchangeable phosphorus pool here is empirically related to a dissolved P pool by a constant here. There are lots of different names for it. I call it a linear partition coefficient or a mass transfer coefficient. And we can estimate these variables through a simple Langmuir-type adsorption-desorption isotherm. The PD is the equilibrium phosphorus concentration. This is the concentration at equilibrium. This is what we would expect to see out in a river system at complete equilibrium with an exchangeable phosphorus pool. It's the point where there's no net adsorption or desorption. And you know, here this is pretty high. It's about, it's over 100 micrograms per liter in this example. If I were to create some disequilibrium by algal uptake of phosphate, for instance, this would drive desorption. And on the other end of the spectrum here, if I were to add phosphate, for instance, through wastewater treatment plant discharge, this would drive adsorption. So equilibrium characteristics can really play an important role in soluble phosphorus. And we need to understand these relationships as a function of soil management, soil fertilization. In order to better understand legacy phosphorus contributions. There's been a lot of research done with rainfall simulators, for instance, showing positive relationships between soil extractions and soluble P in the runoff. And ultimately, I think in large part, these are linked to equilibrium reactions. So today I wanted to talk about some research we did on a small watershed. The goal here was to try to relate various soil exchangeable phosphorus concentrations to equilibrium characteristics and Then relate that to loading in the receiving tributary. I found this watershed here in the Upper Ogallee. It wasn't even named. I called it 8 Mile Run because it's 8 miles from the headwater. It's not a very creative name, but it's all I could come up with. It's in the Chippewa River Huck. And it was a great, I drove by it, you'll see in a minute. It was a great sub-watershed to study. It was really a tale of two parts. This railroad divides the sub-watershed here. All of the runoff drains into this culvert and goes under the bridge and out, but there are distinct differences. The upper watershed was pristine at the time, I thought. It was prairie, CRP, I don't really know. It wasn't managed. It was beautiful. The lower watershed was completely different. It was really managed by two farms. They operated a livestock dairy production. They didn't milk. They sold the cattle. But you can see the big livestock containment areas and all these fields. We had to get rid of the manure on all these fields down here. So this really provided a tremendous contrast. For the first part of the study, we went out one summer and collected soil samples in all these fields along a 75-meter grid. We must have collected close to 1,000. We collapsed them, composited them into 38 fields, and you can see the tributary station locations here, upper and lower. This is the lower run. Sometimes best management practices are a no-brainer. Get the cows out of the tributary. The tributary really is a dry run. It's not spring. It's not spring-fed. But you can see the vast feedlot, the cattle. And this contrasted with the upper run here, just beautiful. I had a chance to sample this, other than some severe blisters and a case of poison ivy. It was an enjoyable experience. We wanted to make sure we hit everything. We did a bunch of extractions, different bioavailable and refractory forms of phosphorus, crop available P, adsorption, desorption characteristics, et cetera. We didn't want to leave any stone unturned. I think my GIS skills are a little bit better now than back then when I created this figure, but you can see, the Bray and Mellick P is very high down here and very low up in the upper watershed. And this is an example of some equilibrium characteristics for four land uses. The slope of the line here is K, the adsorption, or the linear adsorption coefficient. And we're looking at like a forested, CRP, corn, and the feedlot area. And there are real striking differences. The slope of the line declines with increasing soil management. This is due to increasing phosphorus saturation of the soil as a function of management. As the partition coefficient declines, buffering capacity decreases. This is because there aren't any sites left to buffer dissolved P. Another feature here is the EPC, the intercept here. Very low, less than 100 micrograms per liter for the forested watershed, and increasing up to two orders of magnitude by the time we get to the feedlot. And then finally, PS, the native adsorbed P, sometimes we call it, increases with increasing phosphorus saturation. I think the most striking result or finding were these beautiful relationships between crop available phosphorus and some of these equilibrium characteristics. We had a negative exponential decline in the partition coefficient as a function of increasing extractable P. And then we had an increase. I used a threshold linear analysis, but we could have used a power function or vice versa. Either way, we would have come up with good results. This makes sense as extractable P forms, crop available P increases, the EPC increases. But I want to point out the magnitude 5. That's extremely high. This is PS, the native adsorbed P, as we would expect. We got nice linear relationships between the two variables. This allowed us to be to predict more, perhaps limnologically relevant, extractable P forms from commonly measured crop available P. We also found some great relationships between crop available P and some of these more limnologically relevant variables. For instance, iron-bound phosphorus. This has been correlated with internal P loading in lakes. So this gave us an opportunity to predict some of these more limnologically relevant variables. I also did a degree of phosphorus saturation analysis on the soil. This isn't the oxalate one. It's a different one. I won't go into detail, but, just like the other GIS layers, we see that the degree of phosphorus saturation is quite high down here in the managed area. Up to 70% of the saturation sites are theoretically filled. And we got similar beautiful relationships between phosphorus equilibrium characteristics and the degree of saturation. This makes sense. The more saturated soil is, the poorer the buffering capacity, the higher the EPC, and the higher the adsorbed P. We were hoping for a nice relationship with land use. This didn't really turn out as good. Some farmers fertilize their fields differently than others, but you can see that the more managed soils have higher malic P, are more saturated, and have a higher EPC compared to the more unmanaged fields. Well, let's move along to the TRIBS. There were contrasts, as you would expect. This is mean flow-weighted total P for the lower run. This is where the farms were in the upper run. We're less than 200 micrograms per liter total P in the upper run and close to 1 milligram per liter in the lower run. But I want to point out a couple of things here real quick. Soluble P was very low. SRP, phosphate, was less than 100 micrograms per liter compared to about 300 micrograms per liter. But overall, both combined soluble P forms were greater coming out of the upper watershed. But this makes sense. There wasn't a lot of erosion. And then finally, we did a similar analysis as Ashley. I took the suspended sediment, centrifuged it down, and did my EPC analysis and compared that with flow-weighted SRP. And there are striking similarities. This, lends support to the notion that equilibrium concentrations or equilibrium reactions are playing an important role in soluble P. So, thank you.